From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. And we are pleased to be joined by phone by Marie Leatherby, the Executive Director of the Sacramento Life Center. Marie, Happy New Year to you and good day to you.
Yeah, Happy New Year and good day to you too.
Good to hear your voice. Sorry it's not in person. Occasionally we see people, and when they're on the radio, we don't have to have masks. And I go, oh, you've got another half of your face there.
So,
I've forgotten what my own kids look like.
I know. I've met so many people in the last 2 years, I have no idea what they look like.
Well, hopefully everybody there at the Sacramento Life Center is staying well and happy, because you have an important job to do, and there are no days off for you guys. You can't put a sign on the door saying, come back when COVID's over.
I know. No, we've been open every day. We've had our few people here and there with some illnesses, but for the most part, we're here. We've been open, and God blessed us with that. We've been able to help everybody that's come through the door. So it's good news.
So the finished the post-mortem on the great dinner in November?
Yes. I mean, the money, it's amazing. I think we've ended up approximately $460,000 raised from that.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, that's a big record.
Do you need somebody to wash windows or mow the lawn or something over there?
I know.
Wow.
Now we're deciding, wow, what can we do with this? So today we had a meeting on our new mobile clinic, so we'll do that. And we're, you know, looking at maybe a satellite in the South Area clinic, and I mean, we're so excited. We're going to do more advertising, attract more patients, and you know, it's like build it and they will come. So we're just super excited, especially this is our 50th year, and just to see the generosity and that. You know, we can move forward with so many new things in California and help make it a sanctuary of compassion and hope for women, and especially with, you know, what our legislature was talking about today, making California, you know, a sanctuary of abortion. And we're like, no, we want to be a sanctuary to help these women, truly help them. So
I suppose that's one of the most disturbing things I've heard. I guess I should have seen it coming. Of course, we don't know exactly what the Supreme Court is going to rule.
Right.
But and it's interesting to me that if they were going to rule for life, you would hope they would do it rapidly. You know, the Supreme Court hears cases, and then generally they release them kind of one at a time with a little bit of drama and a drum roll in June. You know, and you're going, wait a minute. This is, you know, lives will be lost between now and June.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, everybody, I think each justice knows where they stand already. I think they knew where they stood before they went into oral arguments, which are generally a formality. Rarely do I think any justices have their mind changed by oral arguments. And so, and it's not like this is some new issue like, oh, I've never thought about this issue before. I'm going to need some time to research it. And, you know, this issue's been around for 50 years, and every one of the people on the court have been around for 50 years as well, or 49 years. So it's not new. I you know, I mean, today they ruled on whether or not OSHA could require certain businesses to mandate vaccinations, and they ruled on that right away because they felt it was necessary to rule on that, no matter how anybody happens to feel about that. But they, well, let's have this ruling one way or the other on abortion.
I know. I don't know why on some things they wait so long. I'm just anxious to see if Justice Thomas writes it one way. I just love the way he writes about life. He's such a good justice and a most pro-life justice. Yeah.
But we'll see what, you know, no matter what happens, your job is going to get even busier.
Yes, I think so. Yeah, if they're paying pregnant women to come to the state, we have to be ready. We have to, you know, have alternatives for them.
God put you in this state, Marie, for a reason.
For a time such as this. Huh?
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's interesting. People can say, well, how come you live here? How come you lived here your whole life? Or how come you moved there? Well, these things happen. Sometimes we don't even know why we do things. But there you are to meet the moment.
Yeah. Yes. It's so true. And we just feel like, you know, God's setting us up and blessing us for this time. You know, I was going through, you know, our 50th year and looking back at, you know, where the Life Center started and where it's gone. And you're right. It's just like God has prepared it for a time as this, you know. We're prepared to see, you know, double and triple the amount of women here. So, you know, and we've just set it up. We've trained more nurses. We've bought a bigger building. We've, you know, have more counseling rooms. We're just so ready to get busier. And so we're hoping, you know, with more advertising, more outreach, more that we'll reach more women.
Yeah, and that's the, I think there's really the clue is outreach. And, you know, maybe you ought to take that $480,000 and put it into advertising.
I know. We're going to put a lot of it, that's for sure.
Advertising can get,
every
you know,
woman knows if it's that we are here.
Yeah, if it's targeted well, advertising can be very effective, you know.
Yes, so, as long as Google lets us. They always play games. That for some reason, they don't really like pregnancy centers. Hmm. But, you know, we're advertising for women. So we usually have no problem, you know. We want to give compassion and care and help to women. And
well, in this state, which is a decidedly pro-choice state, if you want to use that terminology, you're providing choice.
Yes, we are.
You just are. And so is the Bishop Gagos Maternity Home, and so is the Mother Teresa Maternity Home in Placerville, and so are all kinds of, you know, whether it's 40 Days for Life or the Gabriel Project or on and on and on and on, people providing a true choice.
Yes, and I'm so glad there's so many that haven't given up hope and never give up hope that we can't do some good and change lives and, you know, make an impact. You know, one person can make a huge impact. So with all of us, we can, you know, change this state. I still believe that.
So do you sit down at the start of the year and come up with, like, a calendar, goals for the new year for the Life Center?
Yes, we do. Like, how many new patients we want, how much money we want to, you know, raise, new programs we want to put in. We just put in a benevolent program for this year since we have so much money.
Mm-hmm.
Want to help women with things, you know, so many community organizations have just exhausted their funds.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of referring, we want to help women with necessities of food and utilities and, you know, things like that, maybe some rental assistance. So mm-hmm. we're reaching, expanding out instead of depending on our community partners. We decided so many of these women are really hurting.
Yeah. I was going to say, you sound a lot like the Gabriel Project in St. Vincent de Paul there.
Yeah, we're just trying to fill needs that are out there.
Yep.
So that's one thing. We're starting a scholarship program in our 50th year to help moms that, you know, a lot of student moms mm-hmm. abort because they think they can't do it, where we're going to offer some scholarships to help them through.
Oh, boy. That would be great.
We're really excited about that new program. And, yeah, so we're putting our donors' money to really the best impact we can have on lives. So we're super excited, and we thank everybody that's given so generously to us. You know, we paid off our mortgage, and we have money in the bank, so we're ready to do more. We're ready to move forward.
You want to pay off my mortgage?
I know.
Mine, too.
Yeah.
That's so wonderful. That's, you know, and I think the scholarship idea, boy, that's just some really creative thinking about, you know, going a little deeper and sort of helping the people with reasons that they might choose abortion, you know, and right. helping them overcome, you know, those obstacles.
Yes, right. And, you know, we want to, we've had so many homeless pregnant women and, mm-hmm. you know, maybe help them temporarily in a hotel. So the board's really excited to, with these funds, to be able to do some things we really haven't. We've had to rely on other organizations, and everybody's exhausted right now with, you know, COVID and homeless, and there's such a need. So we're doing good things. And, saving lives. I mean, we just had a couple in yesterday, and our medical director, Dr. Jose Cueto, came in last minute to do the ultrasound. We told him, you know, we think we're going to lose this baby. Our ultrasound tech's out sick today. And he ran in and had this young couple. The dad did not want the baby. He wanted nothing to do with it. The mom was like, I can't do it. And he had them laughing and crying and hugging. And by the time they left, and that baby's going to have, wasn't going to survive that morning. And by the end of the day, you know, just to see the father hugging them, I mean, it just, like, changed their hearts, like, to see the baby on the ultrasound mm-hmm. and get excited and, so it's pretty neat. We get to see that kind of thing every day. And I told Dr. Cueto, yep, you saved a life today. And he's like, wow, this is fun.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you hear over and over that ultrasound is a game changer, and I sure remember the first, well, not just the first, but every ultrasound that I've seen to go, there's my son, my daughter, my wife's son, my wife's daughter, there's that heart beating. There's, you know, and it's really interesting when the doctor's pointing out, you know, well, there's the, I don't know, the kidneys or whatever it is. It's like, how do they know that stuff? You know, and it's like, wow, that's, you know, there's no way. There's something about the heart beating, though, that just takes your breath away.
I know. It does. You know, the Knights of Columbus got us this beautiful, state-of-the-art 3D, 4D ultrasound machine. And one of the first ultrasounds we did on it was life-saving. The mom and dad were, you know, didn't think they wanted the baby. And the people allowed me to come in and film the ultrasound. And anyways, the dad was fascinated. And, of course, they were like, share the news. This is the first, you know, for uh-huh. you guys and us, the first ultrasound, them seeing the baby. And they were very excited. Well, I showed that to the Knights of Columbus when they came to bless the ultrasound. The whole room of grown men with tears running down their face, you know. The first ultrasound, you know, showed this beautifully, beautiful 17-week baby and the heartbeat. And it was such a clear image. And these parents just so excited. And so I had a room full of men that couldn't hold their emotions. They were very excited.
Now, don't underestimate men and their emotions. We've got them. We've got them.
I know. Yeah. They were pretty choked up. So the Knights do great work. They're just just such great guys.
Yeah, they do. And yep. And I just I think of all the, you know, the notion that, well, you only care about the baby in the womb. It's just not true. And it is, it is, there are so many organizations that are going to help during a pregnancy and help after a pregnancy and, and help when the child's born and in the first years of life. And it's just, there's so many of those that have just laid to rest that, that notion.
I know. They need to get over that talking point. I hear it over and over.
Well,
and
it's just, it's, you know, it's a good sound bite. And that's that's exactly what it is, and there's, you know, there are just so many wonderful programs, and fortunately, once babies are born, it doesn't matter if you're from a red state or a blue state. There's a lot of programs at that point on, you know. People pretty much universally think babies are pretty good things once they're born. You know, it's getting them born. That's the hard part.
It's getting them born. Yes, I know. And pregnancy should be looked at as just such a miraculous, beautiful time. And unfortunately, our society's just put a damper on it for so many women and think, you know, making them think they can't do it. And we're like, women are strong. You can do this. And I'm excited, you know, with our scholarship program to help some moms make a better life for themselves and their kids. And we're just really excited about our 50th year. Yep, we've come a long way.
Yeah, that would, you know, that's interesting the way you said that. You know, that might be a very good appeal. You know, like, women are strong, for crying out loud. Rosie the Riveter, you know?
I mean, I think women underestimate themselves, what they, you know, their capabilities and multitasking and...
Or they let people convince them that, oh, no, you are the weaker sex. You know, you're not going to be able to handle this. Gee, why did Mother Nature make me this way if I can't handle having a baby?
Right, I know. So true. So I feel like our work here's just begun. We've ready, you know, to see more women. You know, we're fully accredited. We own our building. We've got a new mobile clinic. We're just doing good things. And, you know, helping thousands of women, but we want every woman in Sacramento to know we're here. This is the place you start a pregnancy.
Marie, if that 400,000, which is an incredible figure, were 4 million, 10 times that, what's your wish list?
Oh, wow. Gosh, I could have fun with that. Probably... some housing.
Mm-hmm.
I open a couple more satellite clinics in real needy areas. You know, the South area, maybe up in North Highlands.
Uh-huh.
Just to reach more women. But yeah, there's maybe a daycare.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Oh yeah, good idea.
Moms need daycare. I don't know. I could spin that really fast.
So of the people you see who are pregnant, they're not all pregnant, right? A lot of them just come in for a pregnancy test.
Right. Some are not.
But of those that are, is it usually a first child?
You know, it used to be mostly first children, but it's kind of morphed into probably 50-50 mothers with children already, and then single. So we do see a lot more families than we used to. And I'm not sure why that is, but, you know, some people come here for their, you know, first, second, third pregnancies. They just know that it's a great place to come and get loved on and support and cheered and congratulated and help. So And then, you know, I don't know if it's the area we're in, but we do get a lot of mothers and fathers that are uninsured or not sure what they want to do. You know, they feel stressed out with the number of children. How are we going to take on one more? And you know, let them know, oh, one more mouth to feed is easy.
You know, it is. Actually, food is food is about the least expensive part of raising a kid. You know, and they don't really get expensive until they're teenagers. I know I found it sort of amusing when the government, I can't remember if it was which administration it was, but it was in the last couple of years, where they came out with this tax break for people with dependents, and it was $250 a month if they're between 6 and 17, and it's $300 a month if they were 1 to 5 or 1 to 6. I go, wait a minute, did these guys ever have a teenager? You know, I mean, I mean, our kids basically until they were 5, they're wandering around in diapers, and you're doing everything you can. You're almost force feeding them. You know, it's like you think they've gone a whole week without eating. Like, what can we make you that you will eat? You know, and teenagers are, you know, they're emptying cereal boxes before you get them home from the store.
Oh, gosh. Every time they turn around, they need money for this, money for that. Yeah. I know.
That is, we're having a dance at school. Yeah, okay, go dance. Well, it's $55 a person. You know, you're like, what?
I know. Oh.
Yeah.
And they only have DJs. We used to have live bands in our day.
Yes,
you know?
That's right. That's right. So I thought they had that one backward. And then somebody said to me, maybe it's because of the cost of daycare. So maybe there was some sense to it because.
Yes. Daycare is a lot.
That can just eat up someone's salary real, real, real fast. And
I'd love to open, you know, a daycare and a home and so many things just to help, you know, that daycare is very expensive. Yeah,
and you know, I mean, the government's always, whether it's the state or the feds or who it is, and leaving out politics, but the government's always, you know, looking for ways to help parents, help kids, things like that, encourage family. If you want to subsidize something, how about subsidizing employers who will have a daycare on site?
I know.
You know, I mean, yeah. There are some employers that do that. And the notion of here's your kid and then, you know, you go down at 10 o'clock because it's time for the infant to be breastfed, or you at lunchtime you're going down and having lunch with your 3-year-old. I mean, those are fabulous things as opposed to, you know, dragging them out of bed and it's 7 in the morning and you're driving, maybe you're commuting as well, and dropping them off at a daycare and they're crying. And, you know, it's like, and there are a lot of great daycare providers, but it's not the same as being able to have that contact with them during the day. And, boy, if you want, the government wants to throw some money at something,
great ideas. There's so many ways like that we could improve life.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. Yes. Indeed. Well, I'm glad you have that great boost from the dinner, and I presume you've already set aside that date for 2022 as well.
Yes, it's November 5th,
the first Saturday in November.
Yes, it'll be at the Hyatt Regency, and it'll be a great celebration. We'll have even, you know, some of our founding members, Father John Healy, Father Vincent O'Reilly, and the Copus. We have 4 of our members from 50 years ago still with us.
Wow.
And forward to it. Yes.
Oh my goodness. That is I know I had Jennifer Campbell on the other day because they're having the 60th anniversary of Camp Pendola, and I was asking her, I said, do you have anybody from way back, you know, if you put out the call, it would be fun to hear some of those first campers, and I would love to see some people who are now right around 50 years old that, you know, were saved by the Life Center.
Yes. Well, we are going to put the word out first stories of people that came, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago.
Wow.
And see if we can't get some for our celebration in November.
Well, send a few of them our way. We would love to talk with them.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I've called a couple that had, you know, every once in a while somebody will send me a note. You know, I came there so many years ago, and I've kept all those, and I'm calling them, and some amazing stories. Talked to a gal this week. It was about 40 years ago she was here, and she had placed her child for adoption and had just 6 years ago finally reunited.
Oh, wow.
Their child. And, you know, it's so neat to hear these stories, and was just so glad that she had come to the Life Center and it helped her with housing and the adoption, and yeah, and just how neat it was to meet her daughter and what a great decision she knew she'd made, you know. So I'm hoping we'll get some more stories like that. They're just life-changing. And she's a grandmother, and she didn't know it. You know, it's so, it just impacts families and generations forever.
It does. You know, people don't seem to realize sometimes that a lot of things had to have happened in the course of history for this specific child to be born.
Yeah.
You know, there might have been other children born, but that one, everything had to happen right all the way back.
Yeah. Every person.
Yeah. And you don't want to stop that chain right now. You know, you're messing with Mother Nature. So.
Yeah. Every life is, you know, valuable and, you know, important and can change the world. And that's how we like to look at it. And, you know, a lot of people argue, well, what if they're going to grow up, maybe be on welfare? And I said, they might not. I mean, how dare you judge somebody before they're even going to have a chance at life, you know?
There's no guarantee of anything in terms of what a baby born to wealth, a baby born in a middle class, a baby born in a lower class, a baby born to a single parent. There's no guarantee what path is going to happen. There are many paths that are out there, and there are many wonderful stories. But hey. I don't care what the circumstances I'm going to be born into. Give me a chance. Let me prove myself.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, thank God we have a loving Father, you know, and that He loves all of us the same.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. He actually doesn't care if you're on welfare.
He does not.
we're all on His welfare. For sure.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Marie, always a joy to talk with you. I'm glad things are going so well, and congratulations on the 50th anniversary, and we'll look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks. God bless and Happy New Year. That's Marie Leatherby, the executive director of the Sacramento Life Center, and just does such great work, providing choice to people who are in great need frequently, and providing a lot of support to them. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
Hi, this is Laura Lynn, Assistant Director for Lay Formation, and you are listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
That's me. Thanks so much, Laura Lynn, for all you do here in the Diocese of Sacramento. Much appreciated. Well, we are pleased to welcome in Miriam San Martino, who is the Director of Catholic Charities and Social Concerns for these 20 counties of the Diocese of Sacramento. Do you have good tires on your car?
I will now.
You will now, yeah, that's for sure. Give us just sort of an overview. It's not just, you know, you hear that term frequently, Catholic Charities, but it's and social concerns.
That's right.
It's like Sacramento Food Bank and, you know, family, you know, et cetera.
Yeah, so it encompasses one of the three Catholic Charities agencies here in the diocese. And in addition to that, the social concerns piece are items of very important issues for not only the diocese, Bishop Soto, mm-hmm. and for our Catholic community. And it can range from initiatives such as, you know, the anti-racism mm-hmm. Commission that we have.
Right, right.
And it can also include environmental justice. It can include parish social ministry as well as restorative justice. Let's see, we also have, you know, groups that support women who are pregnant, who need mm-hmm. additional support, just a range of services that fall under social concerns.
And you've even very busy with all the fires that we've had.
Yes, yes. Wildfires have been, front and center for us. It impacts our parishes and our communities in so many different ways. And then it's not just a wildfire, but also the post-wildfire.
Sure.
Right? The recovery, the impact of the fire in the soil, and for all of those communities that depend on their land, wildfires are really impactful, plus the damage to homes and the recovery of the trauma from surviving a wildfire as well.
Yeah, I was reading an article in the New York Times the other day, just a couple days ago, and it was about a family from Paradise that was in a FEMA trailer in Chico.
Wow.
And they were closing the whole place down.
Yeah.
And they were the last ones, there was a elderly husband and wife, and his wife had a stroke, so she was bedridden.
Oh, my goodness.
And they had, at this point, still had no place to go, even though it's been a couple of years now.
Yeah.
And went through all of their problems. And what do they do now?
Yeah.
And that's just one couple out of thousands, literally.
Yeah, thousands. And that was one wildfire.
Wildfire.
And what was that, 2020, if I'm not mistaken?
I think it was
2019.
I think it was 2019, believe it or not. Yeah.
Yeah. And every year since, we have been subjected to new large-scale wildfires in areas that maybe we'd never seen or expected to before. It's really hard to prepare for it.
Yeah.
And how can you?
The notion of an urban wildfire, I mean, we did see that in the Berkeley Hills, maybe 30 years ago.
Yeah.
But, the whole town of Paradise wiped out in Colorado just a month or so ago.
That's right.
It wasn't in a forest. You can kind of understand the cabin in the forest, and there's a forest fire, and some of the homes burned. But a whole town's wiped out on the prairie. It's just like I remember reading about one couple who said, they came around with the bullhorns and said, you need to evacuate. And they said, we just grabbed the car keys and went because we knew we'd be coming back.
Oh, wow.
And they lost their home because there was just there's no timber around here. There's just prairie grass, and it's December.
Which is worse.
It's like you just don't expect those things. And we've seen them, like you say, it's not just Paradise. We had some. What, the town of Greenville wiped out, a much smaller town, but still.
Yeah.
And the speed with which these fires move.
Yeah. And, it highlights, one, the need to be in community with each other and to be able to communicate and prepare. One of the things that we saw in one of the wildfires is that there was an appropriate alert system.
Mm-hmm.
So if your neighbor didn't know who you were or if you were in town, you weren't alerted.
Right.
So your neighbors were your lifeline at that time. And then, trying to figure out what's the best way to evacuate, what do I do, where do I go? And then obviously, everyone's seeing this happen in front of them and you want to help.
Right.
And there are so many opportunities to help, but at the same time, wildfire disasters require a very specific type of help. And that's where not only Catholic Charities, but St. Vincent de Paul, other community organizations are really integral in making sure that the victims have that support to just deal with what just happened.
Yeah, St. Vincent de Paul was actually helping them navigate all the red tape.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a lot of red tape that you don't, you're not going to grab a copy of your mortgage or your deed as you're trying to, save your life and your family. And so those are hard things to navigate while you're trying to process the loss, the grief that comes from being a victim of wildfire. So those become social concerns for us, right? It's not something that we anticipate, but it's something we have to respond to.
Miriam, tell us a little bit about yourself. What that led you to being here today?
my history with Catholic Charities really starts really young. My family were immigrants from Nicaragua.
Oh, wow.
And
were you born in Nicaragua?
I was. Yeah. And we were very fortunate that we were living in San Francisco, and our parish St. Paul, you know, we reached out for resources and they connected us with Catholic Charities San Francisco, mm-hmm. which eventually connected us to an immigration attorney who was very generous and allowed us to make monthly payments, you know, with
it's a private attorney.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who allowed us to, you know, obtain our permanent residency. And that's life changing, right? Something that could be insignificant as, well, here's a number to call or here's where you can go and visit, right? And it's a Catholic Charities office. But that for me opened up so many doors and opportunities that I feel a deep responsibility to make sure that that connection, those opportunities are available for everybody. And so that was my first contact with Catholic Charities. And then as I later on, I became an attorney in Solano County. And again, I felt very strong that Catholic Charities, Yolo Solano, was the only nonprofit providing immigration legal services for over 20 years.
Wow.
But, you know, when you think about human development or your own life, the immigration legal remedies or issues are just one aspect.
Right.
And what I was seeing was a lot of families who were needing services also needed food, also needed rent, also needed mental health services. They didn't know how to cope with maybe their child having trouble at school. So it wasn't enough to just be an attorney at that time for me. I felt a calling that there was more to be done.
Right.
And as a Catholic, when you see a need, you can't turn your your eye away. You have to respond in whichever way you can. For me, that was becoming more involved with Catholic Charities. First as a board member, then as an executive director of Catholic Charities Yolo Solano, where we have responded, and together we've all survived, you know, these past 2 years, very difficult years.
Yeah.
And then here with the diocese, I was very inspired. So Catholic Charities Yolo Solano ran multiple rental assistance programs.
Yeah, in fact, that was a big deal in within the last year.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. But the most inspiring thing for me was the transformation that I saw with our parishioners who, when Catholic Charities went to multiple parishes and we said, we need your help. There's so many people
getting
in
the
need.
Word out.
Yeah, get the word out, help them apply, get their documents together. And the response that we saw was never, well, why should I do this? It's, yeah, sign me up. When's your next event? Let me make phone calls. And when you have these events where you have a volunteer from our local parish talking with a family in need and they're both crying.
Mm-hmm.
And that is such a moment that I will never forget. And then you hear the feedback of not only the client who says, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to go. I thought I was going to be evicted. And then the volunteer who says, I never knew that people were suffering that way. I felt so connected. I felt mm-hmm. so close to them. And so from experiencing that transformation and watching it happen, you know, how wonderful would it be that throughout our diocese that we're having that experience, you know, within our parishes, in our community, to share that human interaction, that accompaniment, and to really feel that you may not have all the answers for somebody, but to really listen to them and sit with them and, you know, cry and laugh and experience life with them, it's just so amazing.
So did that, in your mind, did that program turn out being successful?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And what did it provide?
So both programs provided rental assistance, and then the second program provided, in addition, utilities assistance,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we saw folks receiving anywhere between $5,000 to $23,000 in assistance.
And the landlords kind of were part of this, right?
Absolutely. Landlords were very important mm-hmm. in this process as well, right? Because it's not just a tenant. It is a two-way relationship.
Right.
And it's also smaller landlords and property owners whose lives depend on rent.
Sure.
And so we're not only helping families stay housed, but also helping the landlords, you know, with their financial stability during a very difficult pandemic. And so we rarely saw tenant and landlord not cooperating. That was very rare. What we saw was, hey, let's work together. What do you need? What can I do to help you? And
Everybody eligible for everybody who was eligible able to get the aid, or did it run out?
It depends. A lot of the first round of aid did run out. That was about $4.1 million that was distributed. The second round is still ongoing, right? We still have federal funding out there helping with emergency rental assistance. The second round, Yolo Solano did about $7.1 million. So it was a big chunk of money. But the state is still providing additional help. So it's ongoing.
Explain how Catholic Charities, the diocese, is organized in these 20 counties.
Yeah, so we're very unique. Most dioceses will have one Catholic Charities right. office and then, you know, satellite offices throughout its diocesan area. But because we're so large and we're so diverse, you know, we have urban and rural and agricultural.
Hugely diverse.
Very diverse. And so in order to meet the need locally, we have three separate Catholic Charities agencies. They're their own nonprofit, but they are still under the diocesan structure. So we have Catholic Charities Yolo Solano, which covers Yolo right. County and Solano County. And then we also have Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services, which focuses in the Sacramento area. And then we have Northern Valley Catholic Social Services, which has the biggest geographic coverage.
Right.
And we're still expanding, right? There's still need to expand and provide services in the other counties where we're not present. For those reasons, I think the strength that we have is that we are working locally and we're responding to the local need as opposed to generalizing the entire diocese under one structure.
And Catholic Charities, even though it's run by the Catholic Church and the Diocese of Sacramento, mm-hmm. you can get federal money or state money, correct?
Absolutely. It all depends on the programming, the grant funding. And our Catholic Charities are also part of a larger network, which is Catholic Charities of California.
Mm-hmm.
And so through that network, which is a statewide network, we're also able to leverage obtaining state funding and federal funding.
Wow. And the North State is headquartered in Redding.
Yes.
Which is still another 150 miles to Yreka.
Yes.
Have you been to all those places?
Not yet. But I do look forward to driving up and meeting everybody who, you know, that's their hometown. That's their community.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you learn about their passion and what the need is and what else can we do to bring more services up there.
Yeah. And the needs are they're so different. I mean, county to county, even.
Yes.
It's really remarkable. I remember my wife's from Montana, and we would, you know, we'd go on little weekend excursions and stuff, mostly before we had kids. And she said, I didn't realize there were so many Californias. You know, it was like the Redwoods, and then like Modoc County, where you'd think you were in Wyoming or somewhere, just the high desert and then all the urban areas
that's right,
and the ocean, and it's just
just drive an hour and you're in a whole different area.
You really are. You know, I was covering a football game, and UC Davis was playing South Dakota State, and South Dakota State won the game in South Dakota, and they were going to come out and play Sac State.
Okay.
And these guys, it was early December, and these guys from South Dakota State, I was talking to them after the game, they said, this is so cool, we're going to go to California, I'm going to put my shorts on, we're going to sunbathe. And I said, do you guys realize that we held the Winter Olympics about an hour from where you're going? And they said, no.
That's right.
And what, 17 feet of snow in the last month, you know. And there's the Pacific Ocean part of our diocese. And
it's amazing.
It really is.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, that kind of goes back to, again, it's the local community, the local parish,
yeah,
right, that can really say, these are our strengths, this is what we need, and this is what our, you know, parishioners really need. So it's really interesting to get to meet everybody and learn how different their entire diocese is.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Well, the carrot we threw out to get you on was you were going to talk about Into the Mix.
Into the Mix. Yeah, so Into the Mix is January 20th.
Mm-hmm.
We will be highlighting a cocktail that day, both options, alcoholic and non-alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And we are opening up the discussion for pro-life issues, you know, that could, there's so many. So I'm really looking forward to having, you know, that discussion with the audience. And, you know, some of those issues are tough to talk about.
Real tough, especially in this day and age.
Yes.
And, you know, the Catholic Church is not easy to pigeonhole.
No.
You know, the it's always frustrating to me that, you know, pro-life tends to be more on one side, and a lot of the social concerns tend to be on the other side more. I don't want to too generalize, but it's it really is we've got odd bedfellows in this church, you know, and it's
we do.
And we, but it's a consistent ethic of life.
That's right. That's And you know, if you think about the most basic, right, to love one another, to show God's mercy to each other, and so regardless of where we stand or how we understand certain issues or how we respond to certain issues, first and foremost is, are we respecting the human dignity of that person across from us?
Right.
You know, and life throws very difficult situations at you. And if we approach it with love and compassion, then, you know, we get that human connection that we all long for.
Right.
And hopefully that moves us forward to a more compassionate and loving situation.
Yeah. I remember it. I think it was World Youth Day in Rio. Where I wasn't there, but hearing the Holy Father speak, and he, Pope Francis, and he said, I know you guys are all busy and there's so many issues out there. He said, just read Matthew 25. Just read Matthew 25 and do it. You know, like that'll get you a long ways towards what you should be doing on this earth.
Yeah.
And that's what Catholic Charities is doing.
Yeah, and one of the exercises that I would challenge some of our Catholic Charity staff is, you know, as you're sitting across the person who is asking for help or has a very difficult life situation, and you may not agree with it personally or wherever, you know, you fall, take 2 to 3 seconds and really envision Jesus right in front of you. And to do that, and I only recommend 2 to 3 seconds because it can be very powerful if you really think about it.
My dad used to say that to me.
Yeah.
You know, and we'd see somebody on the street or something and he'd say, that's Jesus. Just pretend that's Jesus because it might be.
And would you deny them
exactly
a service? Would you deny them your compassion and love?
Yeah.
And if you just take, if that becomes a regular practice, then the issue that's in front of you is really not that divisive.
Right.
You know, because you know what you need to do, what the right thing to do.
Oh, you do. You do. You always do. You know, it's just, it's just doing it. It's funny. I've told my kids a million times that if you just read Jesus' words in the Bible, some of those things might be hard to do, but they're inarguably the right thing to do. And you know it is. He's not asking you to do something really stupid or something where you go, why did he say that? That just doesn't make any sense to me. It makes sense, and it's 2,000 years later, and it still makes sense.
It still makes sense.
And you know it would be a much better world if we all did those things.
Exactly.
It's why, you know, we all have friends who are atheists or non-believers or agnostics or whatever, and they all like the person of Jesus, though. They just can't find any fault with him. You know, it's kind of funny. It's everything he stood for. Yeah, he stood for good things.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, and
he didn't come to make life hard for us.
He didn't. We make life hard.
We make life hard for Jesus.
Yes, we do. So it's, you know, it's humbling to step out of the, you know, the regular thinking or the societal way of thinking.
Yeah.
But it's humbling to take a step back and go back to the basics.
Yeah. Go back to the basics. Indeed. So, do you sit down at the start of the year and say, okay, here's a project, here's something we wanted to sink our teeth into in 2022? Events will scratch all that anyway.
For some things, yes. You know, we know that anti-racism is definitely on our radar, right? And we're working really hard. We know our parishes have a lot of ministries going on right now, tackling anti-racism and responding to the pastoral letter of Bishop.
That's a beautiful letter.
It is.
And it's very practical. It's real down to earth. It's nuts and bolts.
Yes, yes. And so making sure that we are not only from a diocesan perspective, you know, putting those plans into action, but recognizing and convening the parish ministries who are also focusing on those types of activities come in, because it really is a diocesan-wide initiative.
Right.
So things like that, we know that we have to work on, you know, during the year. Other things are ever-changing, right? The response to homeless.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do? What is each city doing? What are the counties doing? And what are we going to do? You know, are our parishes prepared? Do they have the resources available to respond to somebody who is homeless that comes knocking on the door? And then there are other things, you know, like wildfires that happen.
Yep.
And then the wildfires lead to flooding potentially, right, because of the burn scars. So we kind of keep those things in mind. And knowing that wildfires are inevitable, we definitely want to prepare our parishes and our leaders to make sure that they're able to respond in case of an emergency as well.
Wow. A lot on your plate.
A lot. But, you know, we never do these things alone. There's a quote by Mother Angelica, and I'm not going to get it right, but pretty much she says that her fear was not to die, but her fear was to get to heaven and the Lord say, look at everything you could have done. Had you trusted me more?
Yeah.
You know, like, had you trusted me more? I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. I'm going to think about that one.
Yeah, that's a challenge, right? And so I think that's what we're called to do, to walk in faith, do the right thing, and know that things will work out.
Yeah. Well, Miriam, we're just thrilled that you're in this job. And
well,
I know
you,
that they got the right person for the job. And
oh, thank you.
I'm glad you're in that chair and I'm not. But we just scratched the surface today. Hopefully we can get you back soon.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
We enjoyed it, too. God bless you and your family in the new year.
Thank you.
Well, that's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless everyone. We'd like to thank all the wonderful people and organizations, businesses in town and throughout the Diocese of Sacramento who have provided underwriting for the Bishop's Hour, some in the last few years. Some have been with us for a very long time. If you would like to be an underwriter for the Bishop's Radio Hour, it's a wonderful opportunity to support this mission and also to support the diocese and also to get some recognition for your organization or for your business. The easiest way to do this is to give us a shout, send us an email, radio@scd.org, and we can give you all the details about helping to underwrite the Bishop's Radio Hour. Again, that's radio@scd.org.
I feel burning deep inside of me. I feel your spirit. You're